Now, everybody struggles in life. Life is tough. Everybody agree with that? Life's tough. And it's tough because sin has broken everything in the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, God said this. They're on your outline, Genesis 3:17. Because you sinned, all your life you will struggle. All your life you will struggle. Now, nobody has to tell you that Bible verse. You know that one by personal experience. Life is a struggle. And life is a struggle three ways. We struggle with other people, we struggle with ourselves, and we actually struggle with God. First, we struggle with other people. And that means that every relationship is broken by sin. And because nothing works perfectly, we have competition, we have conflict, we have misunderstandings. You get disappointed by other people, and other people are disappointed in you. One of the great guys in the Bible, Jacob, is an example of the struggles of life. In fact, Jacob's entire life was a struggle, and he struggled with his brother, that was Esau, who he stole his birthright and blessing. He struggled with two wives. By the way, if you ever want to read a case why there shouldn't be polygamy, go read Genesis chapter 30. By the way, let me just explain something to you. Not everything reported in the Bible is approved by God. Does that make sense? I mean, people say, well, polygamy's in the Bible, you know, slavery's in the Bible. Well, yeah, so is rape and murder. The Bible tells the truth, and it tells the truth even about the sins of people. It doesn't mean God condones these. In fact, God opposes. From the very beginning, God had said, no, you should have one mate for life. But he had struggles with his wives. He had struggles with his in-laws. They were jealous. They cheated each other. He had struggles with his 12 sons. Very dysfunctional family because of favoritism. Mommy liked one and daddy liked another and the rest kind of got left off. But there was struggle with other people. Second, we struggle with ourselves. And your biggest battle in life really is not with other people. Your biggest battle is inside you. You struggle with your fears. You struggle with your flaws. You struggle with your temptations. You struggle with your insecurities. You struggle with guilt. You struggle with regret. We struggle with resentment, compulsions, weaknesses, sins, addictions. Jacob had this in spades. He was a very insecure person. He struggled with insecurities. He struggled with manipulating other people. He struggled with his conscience constantly. Paul in Romans 7 talks about this kind of struggle we have with ourselves. He says, I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. And no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. But there is a law at work within me that is at war with my mind. Now, everybody here can identify with that passage. We often want to do things that we don't do, and we often don't do the things that we know are right to do, and we struggle not just with other people, we struggle with ourselves. But the greatest struggles in life of all are the ones that you and I have with God. We struggle with God all the time, whether you realize it or not. In fact, most of your struggles with other people and most of your struggles with yourself are rooted in the struggle that you have with God. Now, why do we struggle with God? Well, there are really two reasons. One, we doubt his wisdom, and therefore, two, we want to be in control. Whenever you doubt God's wisdom, then you want to be God because you think you know better than God does. You think you know what will make you happy more than God does. When God says, don't do that, you say, well, I think that would make me happy, and you do it anyway. Now, Jacob, of all people, demonstrates struggling with God. In the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, as a man, Jacob struggled with God. As a baby, he actually struggled with his brothers. In fact, the Bible says that when his mother, Rachel, was pregnant, that the two twins, Jacob and Esau, were fighting inside the womb. That would have been a fun lunch for the mom. And they fought, but he says, as a man, Jacob struggled with God. And he actually had a wrestling match with God. The only person to ever have this. You talk about WWF wrestling, this one takes the cake. In Genesis chapter 32, here's Jacob's wrestling match. Now, Jacob sent his family across the Jabbok River, but he stayed behind alone. And that night, a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, let me set this story up. Jacob cheated his brother Esau, his twin brother, out of his blessing from the family and birthright. So he got the inheritance. And his brother Esau had intended to kill him. And so Jacob ran away to another part of the country and married his uncle's daughter, Rachel, and then also married Leah, and lived there for at least 14 years, maybe close to two decades. And after a while, God says to Jacob, Jacob, I want you to go home back to where you were born. And he is regretting because he knows that his brother wants to kill him. On the way going back home, Jacob with his whole family, they're very large now. He's got servants, he's got cattle, he's got sheep. He's very, very wealthy. He hears that his brother Esau is heading toward him with 400 armed men. This is not a happy family reunion. He's scared to death. And yet he knows God has told him to go home to his home country, and yet he knows when he goes back, my brother had said he wants to kill me because I've stolen from him. And so when he gets to the Jabbok River, Jacob sends his family on ahead, and he stays behind. He's splitting it up so his family doesn't get hurt in this encounter he's going to have the next day. Now, Jacob's been running from God all his entire life, and some of you have been too. You've been running from God your entire life. God says, Jacob, you're not going to run anymore, so we're going to settle this issue right now. We're going to have a little wrestling match. We're going to the mat. And the Bible says that that night, while he's alone there on that side of the Jabbok River, he meets this man, and the man is clearly an angel or representing God. God shows up, and it says, when the man saw, he starts wrestling Jacob, that he wasn't winning the struggle, he hit Jacob on the hip, and it was thrown out of joint. And the man said, let me go. Daylight is coming. And Jacob said, I won't let go until you bless me. Now, it says here that the man said he wasn't winning the struggle. Now, if Jacob is wrestling God, clearly God could have overcome him instantly. I mean, clearly, in this wrestling match between God and Jacob, the Jacob is kind of a tie. So what is going on here? God could have easily overwhelmed him, but he lets this struggle go on. There's a very important lesson for you right here. Why? Because God loves it when you wrestle with him. Some of you are in a struggle right now with God. God loves it when you struggle with him. Why? Because the opposite of struggling with God is walking away from God. The opposite of struggling with God is running away, is avoiding, is saying, forget you, God. God would rather have you fighting him than fleeing him. Does that make sense? So God loves it when we struggle with God. God, that's not right. When we argue with God. God, I don't like that. God says, that's okay. Why? Because wrestling is a face-to-face encounter. Wrestling is the most intimate sport. Now, the man, this represents God, asks, what is your name? That's a strange question in the middle of a wrestling match. What's your name? Jacob, he replied. The man said, you will no longer be Jacob, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you've won, so your name will be Israel. Now, one of the things you know about God is this. Whenever God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. He wants you to know the answer. He wants you. God knew what Jacob's name was. God had never missed a day of Jacob's life. God created Jacob. But he says what he wants Jacob to do is to admit who he is, because in those days, names meant something. You were named for your character. It was your brand. It was your label. And Jacob literally means deceiver. It means supplanter. It means manipulator. And God says, you know what? You've struggled with me well in this, and you've won. I want you to circle that on your outline. You have won, because we're going to come back how to win an argument with God in just a minute. You struggled with God, and you have won. God has never said that about anybody else, and there's some real important lessons to learn here. And he says, so your name will be Israel. You'll be named Israel. This is the man of whom the Israel nation is named after, the Jews. So he's given a new idea, a new identity. By the way, do you know what Israel means? It has two meanings. Israel means, number one, it means struggles with God. That's what Israel means, struggles with God. And if you know the history of Israel, they have struggled with God for millennia. Struggles with God. But it also has a secondary meaning. It means a prince with God. You're now a prince with God. And God says to Jacob, you used to be a manipulator, but now you're gonna be a prince. You used to be a deceiver, but now you're gonna be a leader. This whole struggle with God changes his identity. Now, why is that important? Because when God wants to work in you, God does his deepest work in your life in your identity. When he can change the way you see yourself, it changes you. Anything you want to change in your life, it starts with change in perspective. And until God changes the way you see yourself, nothing's going to much happen in your life. You're going to struggle the rest of your life. As a result of this wrestling match, it says then God blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Now, this is a very important story in the Bible because it teaches us how to wrestle with God and win. I think you need to know this one, because you're gonna go through struggles all through your life. How do you get through the struggles in life and win? How do you get through the struggles of life and have victory? Now, you need to understand that the reason, the only reason you can wrestle with God, as I said, is because God loves it and God loves you. God is not an apathetic God who just sets the world in motion and doesn't care about how you feel. He cares deeply about how you feel. And he loves you, and he cares about you, and he's sympathetic, and he's not apathetic, and he's not detached. In fact, the Bible says this on the screen, 1 Peter 5:7. I want us to read this aloud together. Read it with me. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. This last week, I went through and I did an intensive study of all the laments of the Bible, and I discovered there's a pattern. Whether it's David or Abraham or Jeremiah or Moses or Elijah or Isaiah or anybody else, and they're complaining to God, there is a pattern that you see in every one of them, and this pattern is the pattern you use to successfully argue with God. Are you ready for this? You need this. This is a form of prayer. And to help you remember it, I want you to remember how much God cares about me. I put it in a little acrostic, C-A-R-E. So write these down, C-A-R-E. Here's the pattern, then we'll look at it. This is the pattern of lament in the Bible. First, the C stands for complain. So if I'm gonna have a lament prayer, I don't like what's going on in my life and I wanna complain about it, I wanna lament about it, first thing I do is I complain. And you'll find that in many of the laments of the Bible, the complaints are usually in the form of a question. God, why are you allowing this? God, why don't you do something? God, when are you gonna answer my prayer? How long, God, is this gonna take? What in the world are you doing while our people are falling apart? And the complaints often take the form of a question. That's the first thing. The second, the A in care, stands for appeal. And the second thing I do is I appeal to God's nature. And we're gonna come and explain this in a minute. I appeal to God's character and who he is, his attributes, the character, the nature of God. R stands for remind. I complain, I appeal, I remind. This is the third in the pattern. I remind God of his promises. I remind God of his truth. I remind God of what he said. I remind God of his reputation. And E, I express trust in God's wisdom, in the things that I don't understand. I express trust. Now, no matter who it is in the Bible, when they are complaining and they are lamenting to God, they follow this pattern. I could take you through Proverbs and Psalms and prayers, all through Scripture, of complaining, appealing, reminding, and expressing. So let's look at how you could do it. Here's how you do it. Number one, When I don't like what's going on in my life, when I'm in a struggle with God, when my prayers aren't being answered, the first thing I do is this. Number one, tell God what I think is unfair or painful. I tell God what I think is unfair or painful. This is the start of a lament. I'm going to teach you a form of praying that most Christians have no idea how to do. They only know how to do praise and thanksgiving. But this is how you argue with God. You tell God what you think is unfair or painful. Now, I've given you some examples there that you can study on your own. I'm going to read you a few out of the Bible. Okay, listen to this one. Here's from Job. Job chapter 13. I've lost all hope, so what if God kills me? I'm going to state my case to him. Now listen to my words, God of explanation. I'm ready to state my case because I know I'm right. Are you coming to excuse me, God? Speak first, God, and I'll answer. Or let me speak and you can answer me. What are my sins? What wrong have I done? What crimes am I charged with? Why do you avoid me? Why do you treat me like an enemy? Are you trying to frighten me? I'm nothing but a leaf. You're attacking me like a piece of dry straw. That's a lament. Now, in a lament, the tone can be very different. You can lament out of anger, like some of these I just read. You can lament out of frustration. You can lament out of fatigue. God, I am so tired, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You can lament out of anger. You can lament out of disappointment. You can lament out of fear. I'm scared to death. God, help me. I don't know what's going to happen this week, and I'm scared to death. Help. Let me just ask you a very personal question. What are you tired of tolerating in your life? Whatever that is, you're tired of tolerating it. You've been putting up with it. You're tired. You need to turn that into a lament. You need to tell God what you think is unfair, what you think is painful. Now, here is the key, and you got to get this or it won't work. There are two keys to praying like I'm talking about right now when you're struggling with God. One of them is you complain to God, not about God. Not against God. This is there. When Moses complained to God, God answered. When the people, children of Israel complained, they got stuck in the desert. So there's a right way and a wrong way to complain to God. What's the right way? You do it in faith. You complain in faith. In other words, I believe, God, you're going to hear me on this. You're going to hear me. You're going to listen. God, I believe you can help. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So when even in your complaints, you have to do it in faith. God, I know you can accept this because you're big God. And God, I'm going to complain, but I'm complaining to you in faith. Here's the second thing you do. If you want to struggle with God and win, you want to struggle with God and be blessed the way Jacob was. I appeal to God's nature. That's A in care. I appeal to God's nature. And when you read the Psalms, you read David and other people complaining to God and at the same time saying, but you're a good God and you're a loving God and God, you're kind and God, you're fair. And I don't like what's going on, but God, you see everything and this isn't good for me, but God, you're all powerful. So then help me. He appeals to God's nature. God loves it when you do this. When you say, God, you know I'm out of work. God, you know I'm infertile. God, you know I want to get married. God, you know, and then you say, and I know who you are, God. I know you're a good God, and I know you love me, and I know you're a just God, and I know you're fair, and I know you see everything in my life, and I know you're all powerful, and you appeal to the character of God. It's a strong key to doing this. The third thing you do, if you want to win the struggle, I remind God of what he said. I remind God of what he has said in his word. I remind him of his promises. You can do that with your heavenly Father. You remind God of what he said. God, you said. I love it. Several times in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes, God, now you've promised to do this, and you've promised to do this, and you've promised to do this. If you don't do this, you're gonna look bad. He is appealing to God's reputation. And then the fourth thing I do in my lament is I express my total trust in God. And when you see David's Psalms, David, almost every Psalm ends with, no matter how much he's railed on God, he goes, but I'm still gonna trust you. God, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and that didn't turn out the way I wanted, and that hasn't happened right, and my life hasn't really been a bed of roses, but you know, God, I'm still gonna trust you. And I expressed my total trust in God, and this is what you end your prayer with. You say, Lord, I trust your goodness, and I trust your wisdom, and I trust your love, and I trust your plan, even in the bad things that happen that I don't understand. Now, you listen to me very closely. The way you win a fight with God is by surrendering. Because there's no way you're gonna win it on your own power. The way you win a struggle with God is by surrendering. We're gonna talk about that next week. I surrender all my unanswered questions. And in return, I get the blessing of God on my life. And I sense his presence. And I feel his love. And I know he cares. And I depend on him. And he gives me comfort and he gives me power that I don't have on my own. The only way you're gonna win in the struggle of life is give up control. The most dangerous disease you can have is the illusion that you're in control. You're not. And as long as you think you are, you're gonna have one struggle after another. You're not in control of your marriage. You're not in control of your kids. You're not in control of the weather. You're not in control of the economy. You're not even in control of what kind of disease you get in your life. The greatest things in your life are out of your control. The last of the story of Jacob ends in verse 31 of Genesis 32. It says this. So the sun rose, this is after this big wrestling match. So the sun rose as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Do you remember when they were in that wrestling match? It says that God reached over and touched his hip and pulled it out of socket. What is the significance? What's the symbolism in that? Your hip, your thigh muscle is the strongest muscle in your body. It's the biggest muscle and it's the strongest muscle in your body. God is gonna touch you at the place of your greatest strength. So you're gonna limp the rest of your life as a reminder to depend on him, not your own strength. Jacob had a history of running. He ran from responsibility. He ran from the messes he made. He ran from the struggles he created. He ran. He constantly ran. God said, we'll fix that. You're gonna limp the rest of your life. No more running for Jacob. What have you been running from your entire life? You see, after you've wrestled with God, he blesses you, but he gives you a reminder to depend on him the rest of your life, and you're gonna walk with the limp the rest of your life. All of God's giants walk with the limp.